Welcome to Barbershop Banter, your quick cut into the world of e-commerce and retail business. Your hosts, Lucas Kemper and co-host Baxter Conley, share the nitty-gritty of their product line journey. Tune in for bites of wisdom and stories of how Dandyman Collection came to be. Let's dive in.
Welcome to episode 4. Today we're going to do things a little bit different. We brought a special guest in. Found some random homeless guy off the street and his name is Charles. And so I wanted to ask Charles some random questions about his life and his journey through finding the hairstyling products that he's had and the success that he's had through that. And so before we get started, Charles, I'd like you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you do and experience on a daily basis.
My name is Charles White. I work at car dealerships. I run the fixed operation side of things. Started life Cane Hill, Arkansas. Population of 36. Grandparents died, so now it's population 34. Live in Prairie Grove. Moved to Siloam 4 years ago. Lucas is my best friend. Met probably 5 or 6 years ago through a haircutting venture he had here in Bentonville. Had some bad experiences with barbers. He took over my haircuts and never left my side since.
Would it be fair to say that through the 4 or 5 years that I've known you and the journey, I know this is only one case study, so I don't want to give anybody any like false hope or expectations, but since you've been using Dandyman hair products and getting your hair cut regularly at a professional establishment, your relationship status has in fact only progressed and maintained stability to date. Is that a fair statement?
When you put it that way, yes.
See, let me help you, people.
It's all because of the hair product. And I can't even get the name right.
Yeah. What is it?
Dandyman.
Dandyman. That's right. We're going to go with Dandyman today. Well, the first question I want to ask you is, what's the funniest / most embarrassing hair-related moment you've ever experienced in your life?
Man, I've had a lot of bad haircuts. Probably it would be when I first met you. Lucas always has to fix my hair. I fire Lucas every once in a while just for the fact that his schedule is so busy. I want him running this company versus cutting my hair, but he's at the end of the day, ultimately the guy who fixes my hair after I go get it messed up.
I think you've definitely learned your lesson of paying $8 to $12 for a haircut in small towns.
100%. I'll never do that again.
Yeah. And that is when his relationship status drastically declines and he's calling me to help because his wife won't sleep with him in the bed.
That I will say your haircuts have caused me not to get sleep with whenever you want to do crazy haircuts and give me Fu Manchus and stuff like that.
That was my next question is what's the craziest thing that we've ever done?
Fu Manchu?
Yeah.
Handlebars.
Full blown
handlebars.
Do you have a photo that you want to show the camera?
Yeah, I probably do actually.
Perfect. So while we're digging this photo out, bringing you guys from the consumer side of things, you guys have heard my story in the professional side and how I like to describe the product, but having, you know, someone that's been using countless products through over the years, especially every establishment that I've worked at or in. We've carried different products up until the point of the creation of Dandyman. Oh, there it is, dude. There it is.
You got it?
What a glorious man.
Yeah. That caused me not to get slept with for like 3 weeks.
I don't understand why not, dude. Like if you came over, if I was a woman and you showed up looking like that, you'd almost have to just to get the experience.
I thought the same thing. I was going to give her a mustache ride, but no.
All right. So from Charles's perspective of hairstyling and hair product and the usage, you've used countless products, right?
All the way from Axe, got to be glued. I mean,
over the course of
my whole life,
umpteenth years.
Yes.
30 plus, 40 plus years you've been using.
I used to use that got to be glued. My hair was as hard as a board. I would fix it about twice a week because the shit wouldn't wash out of my hair.
I mean that for longevity purposes, that may benefit, right?
Yeah, you go swimming and it still looks the same.
It's like Aquanet hairspray.
100%. Got a funny story about Aquanet.
Let's hear it.
So as a kid, my grandma had a big beehive. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what they used to?
I was trying to visualize it.
So women used to have a real tight pull up and then they'd have this bun. And back in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, how big your bun was, apparently how beautiful you were. Where my grandma Darlene had a 4-foot bun. And when I say 4-foot bun, I'm not exaggerating.
Her butt was 4 foot?
No, her bun.
Her bun on top. All right.
Top of her hair. So it's about 3 bottles of Aquanet hairspray to keep this motherfucker in place. So I'm probably 8 or 9 years old and we're throwing bottle rockets up in the air, 4th of July. Threw one up, watched it. It was one of the longer fuse ones. You know, when you're a kid, you don't time things right. Well, this thing makes a bee dart right to my grandma's hair bun. Aquanet is very, very, very flammable. Mm. We almost killed grandma that night on 4th of July. We weren't allowed to throw any bottle rockets at our house anymore. Straight up.
Living on a prayer.
Yes. I got my ass beat.
I can only imagine.
Yep.
Whew. Yeah, I've never had any stories or experiences like that of, you know, almost catching grandma on fire. But I have a similar story. It has to do with fire. Nothing to do with hairspray, though. As a kid, I found a magnifying glass. I think I was in like the 1st or 2nd grade. And one of my friends brought a magnifying glass and it was the coolest thing. Like you could take the light and you could adjust the magnifying glass just right where it was like a pin, right? Just like the smallest point. And I remember him like, hey, put your hand out here, put my hand out there. And all of a sudden it was like, went from nothing ice cold to a laser melting through every inch of my skin and muscles and bones. Like it was the hottest thing I've ever experienced. Well, me being me and wanting to see what else it could do, I decided to just, at my grandparents' house, this is where the stories come in full circle. At my grandparents' house with fire, they got a brand new concrete driveway poured. I was probably 7 or 8, like I said earlier. And I decided that I was going to use a magnifying glass to light a fire. Well, it was with leaves and sticks. And so the fire was not gradual. It was explosive. And there's a big ass black circle in the center of this freshly poured driveway that would not come off. So I was no longer allowed to touch magnifying glasses.
That's why you didn't turn out to be a scientist.
Along with other reasons, yes.
Yeah.
That I cannot describe on a podcast of why I should not be a scientist. So going back to the hair products, little detour. What have you seen being an avid user of everything Dandyman? I mean, you've even tried some of the newest products that have came out or not even out yet. What have you seen them and the performance benefit your day-to-day life and or ease of styling?
When you leave the barber, and I know this is your generic saying when you say this a lot, and I'm not just adding to that, but this is something your company's founded on and something I believe. You leave the barber, you feel good. Your hair styled, you never can get it back the same way. Back at your other shops that I followed you along to, I would try to fix my hair the next day. You went through the steps as my barber. This is what you do. This is how you get it. Never could get it right. And here I am, 35 years old, trying to figure out how to fix my hair. None of the products actually worked right. You doing it every day, you made it look easy. The moment I started using Dandyman, I can honestly say I can style my hair just as good as you. I can, if it's a 2 or 3 day haircut, then it looks just as good as the day that I got it cut when I left. That being said, when I get home, the smells of your products, that is something that is a big selling point for me.
You just smell like a man.
You smell good. It's not that you smell like a man, you smell good. You don't smell like chemicals. Whenever you have the stuff on your hands, different types of gel, man, you're washing your hands 2 or 3 times trying to get the stuff off. With your products, water, and it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, the shampoos and stuff like that, I don't, honestly, as an everyday just guy that doesn't give a crap about stuff like that, only reason why I like that is because of the scent. My hair feels clean. I really don't know if it's cleaning my hair better. You say it does, you know, and it feels cleaner, but I don't know the science behind it. I'm not a hair guy, but I do know now I can fix my hair just like you.
That's really all that matters, because when you go to a barber, one of the biggest frustrating pieces for you guys on your side is that you can't ever complete the style or the experience that we give you, right? And one of the biggest frustrations on our side is when we see you guys out in public and our creation looks like shit because you guys don't know how to style it, or the product that you're using isn't what we use inside of the barbershop to help you guys style it. So that's good to hear and good to know. How important is hair grooming and making a good first impression to you? Like whenever you go in and you make a first impression with somebody, like how important is it and the products you choose or the hairstyle that you choose for that first impression?
It's very important. At this point in my life, I wear a hat and a dress shirt everywhere I go. 95% of the time you see me on a daily basis.
It's the same hat and the same dress shirt every day, guys.
The same hat, same dress shirt. I only have one, and same underwear. But I'm not a big first impression guy anymore. I think first impressions, just as a personal aspect, was 10, 15 years ago. If I would have met you 10 or 15 years ago, seeing your tattoos, stuff like this, I would have thought you'd been in prison. You know, first impressions are out the window.
People still think that.
Yeah, they do. But then they talk to you and find out you're a big old puss. So you is never there. First impressions nowadays in 2024 are not that important to me, but I do notice when people take time to fix themselves up. You can look at somebody, look at their shoes. That's my first impression, is off somebody's shoes anymore, not off their hairstyle, stuff like that. But whenever you start noticing, hey, they've got the whole package put together, they're probably a little bit more responsible of a person on the small details.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Shoes. Wow, how far our shoes have came.
Yeah.
That is a whole nother topic we could get into in the plethora of shoes. I am sneakerhead. That is one of my favorite things to buy is shoes. I will wear the same jeans for 5 years, but I will buy new shoes every 5 days.
If you guys ever go out of town, have an experience of going out of town with Lucas, you will hit every hype store in the city. That's already given. So that's how big of a shoe guy he is. We go to Denver, got to go to 3 different fucking hype stores. We're looking at shoes that cost $1,200. I'm like, oh my gosh. Now he doesn't spend that much because he's broke. So he spends $100 on the, you know, recycle bin over there. But
yeah, I think Jess wanted to get some sweatpants, and I think she found some that were resale too.
I think you got that shirt there.
Nope, I did not get this shirt here. I wore this shirt there. So I had this shirt. This shirt came from Rhode Island when I was up there with CVS.
Oh,
I went to a hype clothing store and found a shirt.
Go figure.
Yep. One more hair question, and then I want to break away from this part in this segment and talk about just whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
But I first want to know, so you showed us the craziest facial hair you've ever done. But can you give us a time in your life, or if you have a photo, even better, of the craziest hairstyle that you've ever done?
I don't know if I have any photos. I'd have to scroll on 20 minutes on Facebook and find some of my high school photos, my senior photos. I used to get a bowl cut. Well, it wasn't a bowl cut. It was a semi bowl cut, but it came down as a V in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Then
hard stamped. You were setting a trend.
Every Friday I would get my hair cut. My stepmom was a teacher at the beauty school.
She probably taught me.
Yeah, she probably did. She probably taught you a couple things. But then I would have my hair highlighted, and as dark as my hair was, I'd have platinum highlights, eyebrow ring, tongue pierced, both earrings. You know, Playboy bunny necklace. I was it.
You came straight out of Seattle.
100%.
So the craziest hairstyle, back to the question, is a hard stamped bowl cut.
Bowl cut with highlights.
That goes to a V in the back.
That's hard highlights. Like I'm saying, I look like a skunk sometimes.
And then accented with an eyebrow ring.
Yes.
Sweet. I'm into it. Whew. Yeah, that's enough of that. We're going to go off into something else even crazier. So Charles a little backstory about Charles from the friend perspective is Charles likes to investigate things around the world. Charles likes to look into crazy trivia, or as some people could also categorize as conspiracies.
Conspiracies.
And what's going on and what has gone on and the level of people that are involved in these type of situations. We can't talk about some things that we have researched, but I want to know today where we stand. What are your thoughts on the next 12 months?
Next 12 months. Well, not talking politics, what side of politics we're on, but we can talk about the left, we can talk about the right, because, of course, this country's divided right now. There's a hard and if you're on one side, the other side hates you. I see both perspectives from both sides. Next 12 months, I think this election, it's obvious as of last night. This yesterday was Super Tuesday. So
what's Super Tuesday?
Super Tuesday is the primaries, I believe, where, you know, like the states put up their nominees and vote and stuff like that for their president for the 2024 campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
So
okay, I'm with you. I'm tracking.
It was a landslide yesterday, except for a couple of states that on the right side, we're going to have Trump. On the left side, we're going to have Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
And those are still the main candidates.
That's the main candidates. One of them two are going to win it, most likely, as long as, heaven forbid, I don't want anything harmful to happen to either one of them. But if they're both healthy, I see one of them being our president. It's a given. There's not a third party person going to come in. And our country is going to be even more divided. If Trump gets in, the hard lefts are going to go extreme. If Biden gets in, the hard rights are going to go extreme.
It is what it is.
The writing's on the wall.
People are ticked. People want change. America is grieving, y'all.
America is grieving. It's going to be a bad deal. I think we're on the brink of war. I wish that we could put all this nonsense behind us. We could all find a...
You know what I think? I think if everyone would buy one bottle of Dandyman sea salt spray and they sprayed it and they used it, it would just unify everybody.
Then you're going to get taxed for some sort of aerosol like the cow's farting and stuff.
What are you talking about?
Cow's farts? You know, they're trying to tax cow farts right now because they say that's killing our ozone.
Cow farts. Because of the level of methane in the farts?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
I've never smelled a cow's farts. I don't know what it smells like.
Have you not?
No, I've smelled a cow shit, but never a cow fart.
I've been elbow deep in a cow's ass before, so I've smelt it.
What? You got to go into more context now.
I grew up on a farm. So, I mean, how you check cows and stuff like that. I mean.
Yeah. Did you wear gloves?
I mean, sometimes when we had gloves. I grew up in Cane Hill, Arkansas, bub. Gloves were not. Callus on your hands were your gloves.
I think the closest Walmart back then was probably, 2 hours from that place?
No, it was Fayetteville. MLK, where the Walmart Optical Lab was our Walmart. And then we had one in Stillwell, Oklahoma.
Stillwell. Where's that?
Probably 45 minutes from Cane Hill.
Okay. So right on the other side of the?
Right on the other side of the border. Cane Hill's right there on the edge of, I mean, it's not real close to the edge, but you're within 10 minutes of the Oklahoma border there.
And that's one place you don't want to go.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
No.
That's like the Wild West in the Midwest.
It definitely is. That and Madison County. Right here in Northwest Arkansas, we're just sort of right in between the two where you don't want to go.
Yeah, that's like First 48 style.
That's Tulsa.
Well, I mean, that's still Oklahoma.
That's Oklahoma.
I mean.
We have Little Rock, though, so.
Yeah. So, Charles, you listen to a lot of podcasts. Every time that I'm riding in the car with you on long road trips, podcasts are always on.
Mm-hmm.
What is some cool things that you like listening to podcasts about?
Joe Rogan's my main one. Conspiracy theories.
So, you guys, aliens. We're back to it. Oh, you want to get on aliens?
Aliens, you know, drug trafficking, just exciting stuff.
Adrenaline. You like to get the adrenaline going through your veins on the daily.
I like listening to a lot of these podcasts because a lot of my family are very crooked. There are books written on my family. So growing up, I had a very, very crazy lifestyle. My parents had me when they was 13. So my grandparents raised me. My grandpa, his name was Mutt. He had a twin brother.
M-U-T?
M-U-T-T. The reason why his name was Mutt is because he had two different colors of hair. He had a twin brother named Red. And they had no middle names. And when they say they walked 5 miles to school, they're not joking, but they dropped out in the third grade, you know, and started working on the farm like that.
Isn't it wild where we came from? Thinking about how history has repeated itself, kind of starting to, like it came from nothing and now we've got something, but with the way the economy and everything's going, like it's starting to get tighter and tighter and tighter.
Yeah. You remember when you used to say, man, I made $100,000 a year, I'd be good.
But you make $100,000?
I'm just saying, your thoughts. Now, if you make $100,000, you can barely afford to live in Northwest Arkansas.
It's true.
So what's the difference? They just set the bar a lot higher.
Everything costs more. Yeah, but what I was saying is, I mean, obviously the inflation's taking part, right? And any kind of goods that we buy, whether it's, you know, eggs, milk, or hair products, or Ziploc bags to put leftovers in, like all the inflation is at an all-time high right now, right? And the dollar value is the least it's ever been in history. So just kind of seeing like where your grandparents came from, right? Would you consider like the Great Depression era, right? Like where they were born in the Great Depression?
Yeah, I mean, they talked about the Great Depression. I don't think we're that there yet.
Yeah.
They talked a lot about growing up and they lived in poverty. My grandpa didn't exaggerate very much, but he would say when he was sleeping as a kid, he would look up and he'd be able to see the stars and it'd be snowing outside. You know, the gaps in the roof, stuff like that.
That's wild to think about.
His first gun he ever bought was in 19, he was 9 years old. He was born in 1919. So I'm guessing 1928 around there. He worked all summer long and all summer he got a quarter for his work. Okay. We think a quarter is not very much, you know, you're like, well, how could somebody, but with that quarter, he bought a 410 gun, went to the movies and got a milkshake.
With one quarter. I'm going to try to do that today.
Now, was it the nicest gun in the world? No, it was an old rundown gun. We still actually have that 410 breakover.
That's awesome.
But you look at that now, if you was to go buy a gun, movies and get a milkshake, you're looking $600-$700. Now I'm saying everything back then was that cheap? Probably not. But that story right there, you know, that's something he instilled in me when I was at a young age. Like, always would look back and go, how could you do that with a quarter? It made no sense to me. It still today makes no sense to me to have a quarter to go to the local matinee. You know, there's like one of the first movie theaters in Arkansas. They walked like 20 miles to it. When I say 20 miles, I'm not exaggerating. They walked 20 miles to this movie theater, got a meal and a milkshake and a gun.
For 25 cents.
For 25 cents.
25 cents.
25 cents.
I don't even know if that's going to sink in. I don't even know what you can buy for 25 cents nowadays.
I don't even think you can buy a piece of gum for 25 cents. I think the single pieces of gum are like a quarter plus tax now.
Hmm.
Remember them little pieces of gum you used to be able to buy for like two or three
cents?
Double
bubbles?
The old double bubble?
That lasts a whole 2.5 seconds.
Yeah.
You get a good 3 chews. Mm-hmm. And then it's depleted.
What about, speaking of candy, while we're on the candy subject, when you was a kid, do you ever remember getting them lollipops that had the Indian shooting the star and you'd be able to take that wrapper, the Tootsie Rolls?
The Tootsie Pops.
Yeah, Tootsie Pops. You'd be able to go back to the gas station. Did you know that a gas station clerk told me that wasn't a thing ever?
What, they had like the little heart on the arrow?
No, it had the Indian shooting the star and that meant you got a free one.
But don't all of them have an Indian shooting star?
No, it's only the beginning of a run and the end of the run that gets one. And all these store clerks growing up thought it was cool and would give us another Tootsie Pop. We would sit there and search through the ones, like halfway open up the Tootsie Pops to find out which one had it so we could get another one after we got done eating.
So you were unknowingly thieving your entire life.
No, I mean, the clerk was
guilty
giving
by association.
The clerk was giving it to us.
I'm going to say the next time I get caught doing something stupid, hey, she gave it to me.
She gave it to me.
It's not my fault. Mm. All right. Talking about conspiracies, we have the conspiracy master here. We're all aware of the outages that have been going on, right? So last week or 2 weeks ago was AT&T and Verizon? Mm-hmm. Boom, blackout. Drop cold. Nobody knew. All of a sudden they came back on later that day and the next day. People had service again. This week, was it yesterday? Yesterday, do you want to...
Facebook went down, Instagram, Messenger.
So all Meta.
Pretty much all of Meta. And there was, and I seen a thing, which I didn't research, on X, formerly known as Twitter, that they uncovered the China hacks. Ooh. China was hacking our systems, our social media platforms. And it showed the outages yesterday of everybody. There was actually T-Mobile,
Musk,
everybody involved.
Musk's team found this, you're saying?
It was a tweet. I don't know who it was from. I only follow like 7 people on X.
Do you still consider X to tweet since it's not Twitter?
I've never tweeted before.
You've never tweeted?
I've never tweeted.
You've never submitted a tweet?
I don't think so. I think I did a long time ago.
I'm going to look that up if it's still considered. While you're telling your story, I'm gonna fact check for us.
Yeah, fact check. But they said that it was some Chinese group in China, hacking group, that got us. I thought nuclear warheads were on the way, and that's the reason why they shut down the nuclear, or you know, they shut down the social media, because social media right now can run rampant. There's no censorship from peer to peer unless, you know, we're causing bodily harm or the FBI gets involved, like the whole coronavirus situation. You know, people are going to jail over tweets and Facebook posts and getting, you know, canned and getting canceled over this whole COVID situation.
Yeah, that cancel culture got wild for a while.
It did. It really did. It was sort of crazy. You know, America has had some dark spots in its history. It's something that we can't be proud of, you know. All the way up until right now. Right now we're laughing stock because we can't get along. You know, we're laughing stock of the world right now. But I believe all these social media hackers are censoring people. I really do. I think part of this, they're gathering information, censoring the balloons over United States, stuff like that. Even if you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're going to sit back and go.
Yeah, because there was what, like 6 or 7 different balloons at the world at one time that mm-hmm. were over some of the top countries.
And now the data that's released, everybody thought I was crazy going, man, this is not looking good. Now come to find out, it spent, you know, 6 hours over a top secret naval base and it wasn't transmitting or something. But then after they shot it down, they said, oh, it was transmitting, but we was watching the data that was being transmitted. What really happened, we'll never know as citizens. And it is probably a good thing because
it's like the aliens.
The aliens. I mean, come on.
We know there's aliens. They've came out and said it, but we just haven't seen picture proof of
anything. Well, you know, Cat Williams. I was listening to Cat Williams actually on the way here on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh,
I don't know. Have you ever listened to Cat Williams?
Oh yeah.
So, you know, he goes off in left field, but then it starts making sense because he's actually, he puts on this character because he's a comedian, this and that, but he's actually a very intellectual person, reads like 60 books a week. I didn't know that. And he has a lot of good points, and he's like, well, black holes, you know, he said black holes. He says that there's no light. There's no end to a black hole, that we know of, or that we can comprehend. And in the Bible, bringing religion into this, in the Bible, it says, you know, we won't understand this stuff, but we have a hole, you know, in our galaxy that's eating stars, you know, and I don't know if you've seen the size comparison to some of these black holes. There's a black hole in our universe that we can't even comprehend how big it is. It shows a picture of the Earth next to the sun, our sun next to this other sun, you know, this mega sun or whatever the correct terminology is for it. And then it shows this black hole. And this black hole is so big that we can't even put it into reality as a human. And in the Bible, it says that there was a war, you know, that happened, mm-hmm. the angels and the demons and the devil and everybody fighting. who's to say that these aliens that everybody's seeing or stuff like that is not.
I mean, it could be, yeah.
It could be angels or our back engineered technology. We know more about our solar system than what we do that's on our own planet right now. You know, on that podcast, they was talking about the sea, all the listening devices in the sea.
Oh, yeah. That's wild.
The billionaires that here, what was it, like a year ago, the submarine that got crushed, like mm-hmm. you can't be doing anything else with your time other than going down to the bottom of the ocean. If you're a billionaire, you know, that seems like a good idea at the time, but they knew that they were dead almost instantly from the top secret ocean listening devices. 3 years ago, if I told you that the government had top secret listening devices in the ocean to monitor Russian subs, China subs, stuff like that, that's what we're supposedly listening for. You had called me crazy, but it's a known fact now. It's published in, you know, the New York Times about these devices. So are we really looking for aliens above us or below us?
I think it's both. I mean, it all goes on to what we believe as humans, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, aliens have been around since the beginning, right? I mean, there's books on the Anunnaki, right? The aliens and all of that. So I believe in aliens. I think there's definitely the space is confusing. Space is infinite. There's not an end. And so when people are like, you know, we're the only beings in this infinite end of space, like I call horseshit. Like there's no way. There's no way we're the only.
And the life forms may be different, but if we're looking back at our past lives or, you know, the here just on Earth that we know about Earth, there's so much stuff that we don't know about. The pyramids, for example.
Oh, those are energy projectors, dude. We all know that.
Well, we really won't know, but let's go back to that civilization. Let's go back to what history tells us that, you know, these people were starting fires. These cavemen were starting fires with a stick, you know, and they invented the wheel, and then they found out fire, you know.
And then we have 10 terabytes of hard drive right after that.
Yeah. Who's to say just because our technology now has went mechanical and computers, their technology, they could have been way more advanced than we are.
Yeah.
And found a way to another dimension. Something happened, you know, something tragic happened to the Earth that wiped almost everybody out. It's what I believe. And that a handful of people restarted the world.
Yeah.
It happens in civilizations. Even there's non contacted tribes that
still
have some of the data of Mars. How do they have the data of Mars? These people have no technology. These people don't have running water. They're living on an island that nobody's talked to them in 100 years. And then here somebody comes in and, you know, befriends them, finds out about their culture, bring smallpox, wipe their whole tribe out, you know, situations like that. But they know about Mars. They know more about Mars than what we do.
Yeah.
And
like the Mayan calendar and everything, right? Like where did they get that? All the mathematics and.
Yeah. You know, they knew about Saturn's rings. How did they know about Saturn's rings? You can't see Saturn's rings with the naked eye.
That's why they had those magnifying glasses.
That you started a fire with your.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah. But back then, I don't think they had them.
That's how they started a fire. They didn't rub sticks together. They just used a magnifying glass.
Or they just snapped their fingers. Because there's aliens. Back engineered.
Finger snaps. Okay. Okay. I'm with you. I'm tracking. I love aliens. I love watching anything on aliens. I think being challenged to think outside of the box with what we're taught in school. But not only that, but what we're taught from our imperfect teachers, which is parents growing up, like they push their belief systems onto us and like all of their values and everything. And so like getting out, you know, into the adulthood side of life, I've really enjoyed being challenged on my thought process that I grew up believing, which is there's no aliens and you really didn't even talk about aliens when I was a kid or any kind of extraterrestrial life or, you know, just breaking down just hard things in life that happen. Like, you're just so sheltered as a kid that you don't know. So going out and learning about it, I like that kind of stuff. Like Ancient Aliens, dude, I'll veg that show every single night.
You watch that a lot.
And I'll watch the same season over and over again because it never gets old, because it's, I've always got something from it, dude. And like the way they explain like the energy or the reason why all these monuments are still built and still standing, or and why they were built for the energy purposes, or to be like the landing ground for the alien or the spaceships, or to colonize or whatever. Like, it just, dude, it's just fascinating. Like, it blows my freaking mind to think about.
Wasn't it a couple months ago, they said on the world news, you know, the government basically admitted, hey, we know there's aliens.
Yeah, it's on government docs now.
And we're so desensitized to it that everybody's like, oh, okay, but what's going to happen in the 2024 election?
Boom.
You know, didn't we just pick up some city lights on one of these satellites, these new satellites that we can see this planet, you know, like 100 million light years away or some nonsense like that. I don't know exact what the distance was, so don't kill me. We picked up city lights, and scientists have proved it's city lights, but it's mentioned in the news once or twice, and then we're done.
There's way more important things going on in the world right now, Charles. Meta crashed.
When Facebook goes down, I had so many workers going, what's going on? I'm like, just get back to work. Like, it has no effect on you. You don't need to be on Facebook right now anyways.
You didn't know you paid people to sit on Meta?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And Meta's getting paid from you paying those people to sit on Meta?
100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way life goes, dude. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
It is.
Jim Carrey said on Bruce Almighty.
He did say that.
Yep. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. All right. Well, that's a completely different way we've ever done the podcast. I hope you guys enjoy and stay tuned for podcast number 5.